Hello, Radioland. This is WCOM LP Chapel Hill 103.5 Chapel Hill and Carborough. Support for WCOM comes from the Cary Playwrights Forum. It's 9 o'clock on a Tuesday night, so it must be time for the Cary Playwrights Forum Radio Hour. I'm your host, Christian O'Neill. If you enjoy this show or any show on 103.5, you can support us by contributing safe, tax-deductible donations to WCOM online at www.wcomfm.org. Prepare yourselves for Dashing Heroes, Legions of Terror, and Pleather. The Cary Playwrights Forum Radio Hour proudly presents Meanwhile, a comedic one-act with one too many eyes by Anne Chenoweth Carr. Act 1 of 1. In the heart of the peaceful village of Villagetown, our unwilling heroine, Esther, sits against a brick wall while darning a sock. And when she occasionally breaks from darning her sock, she sips refreshing tea. Little does Esther know of the goings-on inside of the Castle Terror von Evilstein.
Whoso? Whoso? Never around when you need him, Whoso!
Yes, sir. Right here, sir. My liege, my apologies, Your Eminence. Please accept my offering of immense regret, O evilest of evil overlords. I await your commands, he who rules with a pleather-gloved iron fist.
That's better. Pleather? Really?
Mm-hmm.
Even if you are my trusted head steward, things like this are why you are only my trusted lieutenant in training, perhaps, you know. Pleather. Whatever. Now, what's on the evil agenda today?
Meanwhile, in Villagetown, a heroic stranger appears. It's slightly overdramatic Richard, of course. He is walking through Villagetown until his eyes see Esther darning her sock, and he stops in his tracks.
Many long days have I, Richard, traveled many distant miles, but never have I seen such exquisite beauty as what is embodied on the face of this fair creature here. She darns only a sock, but I am sure she is the finest seamstress in the land. She drinks only simple tea from a simple cup, yet I am convinced her cuisine rivals that of the best Paris chef. I must speak with her. Oh, fair maiden!
Oh, hello, sir. You look like you could use a rest.
Yeah.
Just passing through, my name is Esther.
Meanwhile, in Castle Terror von Evilstein.
Well, sir, there's always Villagetown. You could try to send plagues on them again.
There are two eyes in the name Villagetown, Kuso. And I don't feel like plagues today.
Yes, sir. Your evil excellence. But the inhabitants only pronounce three syllables. Villagetown. Heaven only knows who gave it that name. Perhaps send your soldiers to pillage and loot? Burn a few chicken coops?
Kuso? Who is the evil overlord here? If I say it is Villagetown, it's Villagetown. No matter what those fool inhabitants say. And I gave my Legion of Terror the day off. It's Timmy's birthday. But the idea to pillage the village does have its merits.
Meanwhile, in Villagetown...
Citydale, that's quite a trip. I haven't traveled much, unfortunately. I have to stay here and keep an eye on Chaotica Diabolica.
Chaotica Diabolica? Chaotica Diabolica? Where?
Calm down. No need to get so alarmed. His name is worse than either his bark, his bite, or his legions of terror. He lives in that greystone castle up on the hill.
Castle Terror von Evilstein.
You've heard of it.
Heard of it? I have traveled all the way from distant Citydale to fight the evil overlord Chaotica Diabolica, defeat his horrible legions of terror, and end his reign of fear over the innocent inhabitants of Villagetown and for all!
Just Villagetown. No one knows why the extra I is in the name.
Nevertheless, it is my duty to defend the people of Villagetown.
Whew. All right, you've got to be the strangest cookie that's ever wandered through here. Richard, listen. I don't know what you've heard, but it's
I've heard enough. Rumor has it he killed my father shortly after I was born. I have traced him this far and will not rest until righteousness rules once again, and you must come with me.
A what?
Yes! With such a beautiful woman as the sidekick of a fearless hero, we will be unbeatable.
He's the hero. I'm the sidekick. Who's writing this script anyway? Look, Richard, I keep things plenty under control from right here, thank you.
Meanwhile, in Castle Terror von Evilstein...
She keeps curing the plagues. She keeps talking down your rampaging legions. Should we find another horde of wild beasts to send?
No, she still has the last three hordes doing her magical princess bidding.
Do you want to build a death ray?
Electricity hasn't been invented yet, but perhaps a snowman. An evil snowman?
Sorry, sir, I'm at a loss. Esther keeps foiling all your plans, and I don't understand how. She's just so nice for someone so infuriating.
Infuriating? That's my arch-nemesis down there. Have some respect. Could be worse. At least she's not a hero with their violence and their daddy issues. Always showing up the most inconvenient times.
We haven't had a hero around here in ages. What would we do if we had one? Capture him? Imprison him? Torture him?
Torture him? What do you think I am? I'm an evil overlord. Of course I torture them! What a wonderful idea, Kuso! Our hero torturing device. What brilliance. I'll get my mad as a hatter scientist to work on it right away!
Phew.
Meanwhile, in Village Town...
Let us go! And we are here!
So we are!
And now we will call forth the fiend out from behind his gates, where he crouches like the coward I'm sure he is, so we can fight and defeat him!
We?
Devil Overlord Chaotica Diabolica of the Castle Terra von Evilstein! My name is Richard of Citydale. Rumor has it you killed my father. Prepare to die! Or, at least, prepare to be bodily harmed.
Richard, it's really not all that bad.
Oh, now they've gone and done it. This isn't how it's supposed to go. Don't you know the rules? Who are you? Who's he? Don't you know the rules? Didn't you bother to tell him the rules?
He doesn't always listen so well.
Didn't you bother to ask about the rules?
And neither do you, apparently.
I listen just fine, thank you.
Are you Chaotica Diabolica?
Me? Heavens no. I'm Kuso, trusted head steward and trusted lieutenant in training, perhaps. His insidious evilness heard your childish taunt and sent me to inquire further. Are you a hero?
Why, yes. Yes, I suppose I am.
Oh, no. Oh, dear. Oh, my. Not good. Well, take my advice and leave right away.
Do not shoo me away, bumbling servant!
I am not a servant. I am the trusted head steward and trusted lieutenant in training
Oh, do calm down, you two. Speak to one another like civilized people, and you might get somewhere.
For what reason do you come calling? Or yelling might be a more accurate term.
My name is Richard of Citydale. Rumor has it Chaotica Diabolica killed my father. He shall prepare to be painfully hurt, perhaps even killed.
We heard that part already. Anything else?
Ah! No.
If the esteemed Diabolica would be so kind as to meet us down here, we would be much obliged.
His eminent evilness, the Overlord Diabolica, does not do anything kindly. But I will relay the message.
Esteemed? Kindly? Just whose side are you on anyway?
Oh, Kuso was right. There are ways to deal with evil overlords. Certain steps you take. You didn't even ask. You just barged right on in, determined to fight and defeat him. And then you had to go and say the word die. No one ever actually dies around here. Did you know that? But no, you seem to think yourself a hero, but the only one bumbling around is you.
Well, you're just a peasant girl who sits in the village all day darning socks and drinking tea. I bet you can't really do anything pretty at all. Here you all live under the nose of the evil overlord who killed my father, and you refuse to do anything about it. The world needs fewer evil overlords, and I intend...
You intend to what, boy?
At that moment, our hero, Richard, confidently reached for his sword, and unconfidently concluded he left it at home.
The overlords, the Chaopica Diatolica, the Stein Evil von Terracastle. My name is Dale of City Richard. Rumor has it that my father was killed by you. Prepare to...
At that moment, our hero, Richard, heroically hides behind our heroine, Esther.
Aren't you scared?
Are you?
No! Of course not. I was just doing that to put him off his guard. Yes. And now... Chaotica Diabolica, prepare to fight!
You?
Yes!
Now?
Yes!
Why?
Yeah! Because you killed my father. Because rumor has it you killed my father.
Ah. And why do you think it was I who killed your father?
Because all the inhabitants of Citydale say you killed my father.
And who was your father?
My father was Richard the 37th of Citydale. I am Richard the 38th. But since there is no need to distinguish between Richards anymore, I am simply Richard.
Your father was the 37th Richard of Citydale.
Mm-hmm.
The ruler of Citydale.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes you the heir to the throne of Citydale.
Mm-hmm.
You're a prince. Mm. You're a prince? Why didn't you say?
It wasn't necessary. Or you didn't ask. Either way, I just never said. It's not that big a deal. You know, being royalty, wearing that horrible heavy crown, eating all that food.
Sleeping in wonderful beds.
Having to deal with affairs of state and meddle in affairs of other states.
Never having to darn your own socks.
Sometimes of states you've never even heard
never
of.
Never having to cook your own food. Well, that I don't mind so much, but never having to clean your own dishes.
I mean, everyone knows Town Tropolis and Placeton. But what kind of a name is Upper Lowington? And Lower Uppington. Who names all these places anyway?
Never mind that now. I have news for you, young Richard the 38th of Citydale. I did not kill your father.
You didn't?
Your father is not dead.
He's not?
In fact... Why are you gasping?
I don't know. It just seemed like we were supposed to. I feel a little lightheaded.
Back to my announcement. In fact, your father is... I!
Kuso faints.
You! You fiend! You bad guy! You evil overlord! You are my father?
Yes, son. I left Citydale many, many years ago. Partly for the reasons you listed, and partly because there was too much democracy. People wanted to vote. Secretly. And that just undermines an evil overlord's power like you wouldn't believe. Now, why they say I killed me, I'm not really sure. Obviously, I didn't. I'm here, quite alive and quite evil. And it's quite a lot of fun being an evil overlord lording over the inhabitants of Village Town.
Village Town!
You say Village Town too?
Whose side are you on anyway?
Like father, like son, eh? Sorry, ears of practice make a habit that's very hard to break.
Well, father, it's quite strange to say to you, you being an evil overlord and all, but I don't suppose I can kill you now, or even cause you bodily harm or any of that. I'm sorry for all that I said.
Forgiving son, it's right. Quite strange to say the word son to a hero. Would you like to move out here with me, and I can train you in the art of being an evil overlord?
Alas, father, I cannot. As I have no heir yet, I cannot leave Citydale leaderless. Perhaps I can find a beautiful maiden to bear me a son, and then I can...
Son, what our dear friend Esther doesn't know is that she, too, is progeny of mine.
Oh! Wait! You mean I have a sister?
Yes.
When does she find out?
Next play.
Ah. I shall return to Citydale with all speed then, father, and report what I have found.
Son, I would ask you not to do that. If I am still alive, they might try to put me back on the throne. I've grown accustomed to my life here, and you will find that you can get along quite nicely without me.
All right then, father. I shall be quickly on my way. But I won't forget this. Any of this. Goodbye, Esther. We shall meet again someday.
That's all right, Richard. Take all the time you need.
Richard bows to take his leave, and he skips away towards Village Town.
You're his father.
You never told me you had any sons.
I didn't? I don't. I'm not. I just said that because I wanted him out of my hair. I don't want to fight him. My hero torturing device is barely out of the planning stages. I had no contingency plan for dealing with a hero who wanted me dead, so I ad-libbed.
You are evil.
Thank you, my dear Esther.
So, if you don't mind, I'm going to go back to Village Town now.
Yes, goodbye, madam. Go back to the Village Town from whence you came.
Our heroine, Esther, rolls her eyes and marches back to Village Town to darn her sock.
Honorable Diabolica, sir, may I ask? Dishonorable Diabolica, Lord of the empty space between the stars. You've said many times over the years that you have no sons. But I just realized that I've never heard you say you had no children.
You, Kuso, are observant. You're also about one play in 3 months too early. Hold that thought for a little while, will you?
Yes, sir.
And what have I told you about calling me sir?
Sorry, sir. It's just there's a conflict with vacation requests from some of your legions of terror. Plus the Kitchens of Doom report they've run out of tofu and our suppliers haven't delivered any in a couple of weeks. Head steward's job is never done.
Tofu. You feed my legions of terror tofu? Is this why they want vacations? This is why I oppose unionizing, you know. None of those things are very evil at all!
And that was Meanwhile, a comedic one-act with Too Many Eyes by Ann Chenoweth Carr. Starring in tonight's show were Seth Bloom as Chaotica Diabolica, Rebecca Jones as Esther, Benjamin Tarleton as Richard, and Ann Chenoweth Carr as Cousseau. Meanwhile had its world premiere at the 2017 Open Doors Play Festival at Sonorous Road Theater and Film Festival. The original production was produced by Lorelei Lemon and directed by Ann Chenoweth Carr. Chaotica Diabolica was originally played by Seth Bloom. Cousseau was played by Max Fox Davis. Richard was portrayed by Matthew Tucker. And Esther was portrayed by Rebecca Ashley Jones. Tonight we have a very special guest. We have Ann Chenoweth Carr is in the studio with us. Hello, Ann.
Hello.
Why don't you introduce yourself to everybody?
I am Ann Chenoweth Carr. I have been living in Raleigh for 7 years. Oh, I should have thought about that harder. And I feel like I've recently gotten into, I guess it hasn't been recent, it's been a couple years that I have stuck my toe into the awesome world of Wake County Local Theater.
My understanding is that you wrote this play for a school project. Could you describe that for us?
Well, 2002 was a while ago. It was one of the first classes in the theater arts coursework. I was enrolled in the University of Arkansas in Fayetteville, Arkansas. And just this assignment was just, can you properly format a script? and the content of the skit was completely irrelevant to the grade, but of course, me being the crushingly perfectionistic teenager I was, thought to myself, but I have to make it good. So of course I procrastinated on it for until three hours before it was due. And I sat down at a computer in the library and had about 5 seconds of straight up panic. And I thought, well, I've screwed myself now. How can I make well-rounded plot and characters in 3 hours? And then I immediately thought, what if I just don't? And I was a nerd geeky teenager. And so I took a bunch of, I don't know, tropes and elements and characters and echoes from various movies I'd seen and just sort of recombine the shadows.
And so that's where you found inspiration for Meanwhile, was all these different areas in the back of your mind.
Mm-hmm. It's not true parody, but I just mimicked. I was huge into Star Wars all through high school, and so Richard started out as the outline of whiny moisture farmer Luke from Star Wars, and he gets the Princess Bride reference of "You killed my father, prepare to die," and Chaotica Diabolica, in addition to the nod towards Darth Vader, was heavily influenced by the idea of the evil overlord list, which is this thing that floated around the internet back in the late 90s. And it was this list of, when I'm an evil overlord, here are the dumb things I won't do. And it was really funny, and I took some of the ideas, I guess, and kind of smushed it into him. If I were to have written it from scratch today, if I were to have written Meanwhile from scratch today, I probably would have said there was some doofenshmirtz in him from Phineas and Ferb.
Right.
Esther was kind of this generalized, idealized, unflawed female. Like, sometimes stories just tend to have the girl, and her personality is, I'm the girl. And right off the bat, I wanted Esther to be the one who's actually the competent one that, you know, Richard waltzes in and he's like, no, I know what I'm doing. And Esther has the line of, no, I have things under control if you would just pay attention for 2 seconds. And Cousseau, I just sort of needed somebody. So then there was Cousseau.
Well, Cousseau is the archetypal assistant to the evil regional manager, right?
Cousseau is the one who keeps everything running because Chaotica thinks he's in charge, but, you know, Cousseau's the one that keeps everybody fed.
Right. A common theme of the women actually running the show and the men just talk very loudly, right?
True, true.
At least in this production, because it, yeah.
True. Cousseau, yeah, was originally, I don't know, I say envisioned as a guy, but mm-hmm. I guess maybe even that's my ingrained stereotype of, well, of course the guys do things and the girl, and yeah, I really should, I really should change that, shouldn't I?
Yes. Developing scripts. Script is never finished.
That's true.
So besides panic and procrastination, what would your normal process be for writing a play?
Well, see, I have no real good answer for this because Meanwhile is the first play with dialogue that I've completed.
You've had plays without dialogue?
I don't know if it counts as a play. It was an assignment in college, and it was a pantomime to a song. So I scripted it and directed it for all the other classmates. So I don't know if that counts as a play.
Was someone trying to get something else?
Yes.
Okay, then yeah, that will be a play.
Okay, well, then there we go. It counts.
Theater.
my writing process overall is just terrible. I have definitely fallen prey to the fear of making bad art. And I keep thinking to myself, if I can just prep a little more, I can avoid making the bad art. And it can at least come out as average art, and then I can clean it up to be good art. And I'm not the kind of person that sits down by 8:30 a.m. with my coffee and writes for 4 hours and does this 5 days a week. And if anybody actually does this, please let me know how you do this, because I need to take notes. I sort of, everything that I've written, I just sort of chew on over time, months, years, while I'm doing other things. And then one day I'll just be thinking about characters in Meanwhile. This actually happened the other day for this theoretical act two that I might write someday, that I just suddenly, there was dialogue in my head and I went, oh, and I wrote it down real quick. And that's sort of how it goes. I've never really stuck with one format. Like, I don't consider myself a playwright over other things, or a novelist over other things, or a short story over other things. And I'm currently plotting some graphic novel short stories, and I've done a little bit of song adaptation, and I did a little bit of script adaptation. So I have ended up sticking my pinky, I guess, in a bunch of different pies, which is probably not contributing to having a coherent writing process.
I will say that as an early writer, I also, and I still kind of do fall into the trap of feeling like I need to either wait for inspiration or mm-hmm. I need to make sure that what I write down is going to be perfect. So I never, I'm like, before I start typing, I go, well, no, is that really what I need to do? And yeah. But I've been taking a couple of writing classes, and what I have gotten from that is the way that people sit down and they write for 4 hours straight, mm-hmm. and they do that every day, mm-hmm. is they go in with the expectation that what they're going to write is awful.
Mm.
The first draft is going to be completely awful because it's like 75% of the writing process is all revisions. Mm-hmm. So you trudge through until you start and you keep going until you get to the end, mm-hmm. and then you let it sit for a month and you come back to it and you're going to read and you're going to say, this is awful. So you write down like all the problems that are with it and you can revise it. So it's almost like you're getting somebody else's script and you're revising that, because that seems easy, right? Mm. You get somebody else's script and you just mark it with red pen and you say, you should do this and this and this, but you're telling yourself that.
Yeah.
So if you get into the habit of going in saying, this is going to be total utter crap, if I just write this down and get it over with, then I can work on it to where it becomes good. Mm-hmm. It becomes the way I want it to be. Mm-hmm. But I've been trying to do that. I'm not 100% on that, but I'm getting there. So that's something to keep in mind. But
it is kind of funny. The longer that I've been poking at things that are good and things that are bad, is that I'm starting to develop the ear for telling when I get something good the first time. It's like I can hear it mm-hmm. when it comes out good the first time and when it comes out bad the first time. And then I can know, I feel like I'm getting better at knowing, yeah, I can come back in like a month or six and fix this part. So I guess, even generating bad is going to have its value.
Yeah, you can say, it's like, well, I want a witty line here, but this is not the witty line, but I'm just going to put something here, and I know that's going to be witty, and then I'll come back to it later. But now you're not sitting on months, and you're not waiting for it because you're like, I haven't got the line mm-hmm. yet.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'll come back to it later.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to talk to you about, you directed this play at Open Doors 2017, which is a Festival of New Works at Sonorous mm-hmm. Road. They're in their third year this year. It was their second year when mm-hmm. You were there.
Yes.
What was it like directing your show?
Working with the people at Sonorous Road was an excellent experience. That I am so new to theater, and so much of what I have spent my time working on previously had just been story construction. If I had tried to wear all the producing hats, I would have crashed and burned, and my actors deserve better than that. And Michelle and Laura Lee built such an excellent framework. And for a first-time director, and I'm sure even if I hadn't been a first-time director, just working with Open Doors was a huge blessing, and the people at Sonorous are the best. And it felt really easy. It felt like so much that I would otherwise have needed to have thought about kind of got taken off my plate. And sort of freed me up to pay attention to, okay, now I'm going to paint this picture with these people. And then we did our rehearsals, and then we showed up again, and then we performed, and it felt like it was much easier than it could have been. I don't know, is that phrased right? That sounds like I phrased that series. It's silly, but oh well.
The important thing is we know what you mean.
Yes.
My understanding was, I was part of the Open Doors 2017 mm-hmm. last year too, and mm-hmm. my understanding is I saw the play listed the first time and it was mm-hmm. under a different name, mm-hmm. and then it became Meanwhile. Mm-hmm. The show became Meanwhile by the time the audience saw it.
Mm-hmm.
Can you describe what the original, I don't remember what the original title was.
The original title was Random Silliness. The nerdy, geeky teenage me was really, I've always been kind of heavily steeped in, but especially the early days of the internet. And that original title was an internet terminology reference that just didn't survive the shifting landscape of language. Random was a word that you would use in reference to a type of humor that was sort of absurdist. And So if you laughed at something, you'd say, this is so funny, this is so random. And that was, man, I'm failing at describing this. But I think that concept of humor is still present, like Vines and YouTubes, like mm-hmm. that thing is still that. We just don't use that word anymore. So
it's been kind of used up.
Yeah, it just shifted, and language does this. And so anybody looking at this would be like, what? And so I threw it out to the cast that I was wanting to change the title, and if anybody had any ideas to, you know, let me know. And Seth came back at the next rehearsal and said, meanwhile, and it does the thing that you did in the changes as meanwhile over here at the castle and meanwhile over here at the village and meanwhile back to castle and meanwhile at the village. And the way that it jumps back and forth and it keeps in with the... And so he suggested this, and I was like, that really does fit, that it fits with this reference to the, you know, 50s Flash Gordon era. Yeah. It fits with the references.
Yeah.
It's a play full of references, and the references don't necessarily mean much, if that makes sense. So the original title just intended to denote, it's just funny. It doesn't really have that much meaning. It's just funny. And I sat on it for so many years, and I came back and I was like, wow, yeah, this is really kind of prescient with this whole, like, the guy shows up out of nowhere and thinks he knows what's going on, and the girl who lives there is like, you know, if you would listen to me, you'd be a lot better off with knowing what's going on around here.
You save yourself a lot of trouble. Do you have a trick to get yourself in the creative mind?
I wish. I surf a lot of Pinterest. I read a lot of web comics, and I don't know that that term is even broad enough. There's graphic novels that are being put, you know, one page a day on the internet, and so people will tell these serialized, visually oriented stories over long periods of time, and so I've been reading graphic novels for 18 years, internet graphic novels, specifically web comics, web graphic novels. My goodness, I can't speak. And I have spent my life consuming stories. Just as a child, I shoved books in my head, and it was always presented to me that, you know, books being the highest form of literature, and, you know, I got told, stop watching TV, don't try to watch so many movies, you know, it's going to rot your brain. And there was this really subtle but strongly pushed theory of when the story gets given to you with visuals, that makes it inferior. But film has always been an artistic medium, and theater has always been an artistic medium, you know, a respected artistic medium. And so television now is up there, and, you know, there's good art being made in television format, and graphic novels. There's always been good stories in graphic novels, and I think that's gaining more of a widespread recognition these days. So it's funny to me that when I wrote this, even when I sat down with 3 hours to go before the assignment was due, I could see it in my head like watching a movie. I knew exactly how these lines should be said, exactly how these characters should move across the stage. So I don't know. Does this make it irony that it's then come around and now it's a radio play where there is no stage and there's no visuals?
But you said it's like an old serial.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that this type of show works great for radio because the acting's on the voice,
mm-hmm.
and then you can have these, you know, weird, fun sound effects to mm-hmm. add with it, to add to the silliness.
Mm-hmm.
I think it lends great itself to radio.
Yeah. Accidental brilliance.
Mm-hmm. But I'm right up there with you with looking back at 50s and 60s shows, you could see why people would say, yeah, this would rot your brain, because a lot of it was very... There were some
silly
exceptions.
Pulp.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah, it... There were some exceptions, like The Twilight Zone is mm-hmm. up there. Mm-hmm. Even that's been known as kind of a little cheesy at times, but mm-hmm. poignant. But now we're getting into, yeah, a lot of these artists are coming into television and are telling these really good stories.
Mm-hmm.
They just happen to be through television. Mm-hmm. So the idea of TV's rotting your brain, you can't get good creative juices from mm-hmm. watching TV or watching film that's probably going away.
I hope that thought is totally gone. That thought deserves to be gone. And I mean, sure, there's space in the world for the silliness and the fluff and the inconsequential. You know, not everything has to be King Lear all the time in order to be deemed good. You know, there's space for a thing to be good and light and fluffy. And just as long as it's told well. Yeah. So, yeah.
As long as it's a great distraction and you're entertained.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The world is big. The world is big enough for many kinds of art. So, yeah.
I totally agree with you. Anything else you want to say to the radio land?
Nope. That's all my thoughts for the time frame.
All right. Well, I appreciate you coming in, Anne, and thank you for sharing.
So much.
Thank you for sharing this play with us. The Cary Playwrights Forum Radio Hour is brought to you by the Cary Playwrights Forum, where creative minds come to play. The Cary Playwrights Forum meets the third Wednesday of every month to read new, original plays in various stages of development. Local playwrights and actors are invited to drop in, share their talents, and share their feedback. Also, if you have an original play and you want to hear it performed live over the radio, we want you to share it with us. We at the CPF Radio Hour can do full productions or cold readings of short original plays. For more information on submitting your original work for the radio, visit www.caryplayrightsforum.com, click on the Upcoming tab, and click on CPF Radio Hour. And that seems to be all the time we have for tonight. Special thanks to Anne Chenoweth-Carr and our guest stars for tonight's broadcast. This has been the Cary Playwrights Forum Radio Hour. I'm your host, Christian O'Neill. Good night, and break a leg.